Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, she was waiting for her friend to pick her up and she saw her car, but it wasn't her car. Was it a ghost car or maybe was it a prank?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Do you have a real ghost story? Because I'm here to tell you. If you've got one, we want to hear it. Call it in at 855-853-4802 or write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And you can be a premium subscriber. No commercials, advance episodes, and access to the archive. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts, try it for 3 days free there, or go to patreon.com/realghoststories, or go to ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, and my sister Kathy Gordon is here today. How are you, sis?
Well,
I never call you sis. I don't know where that came
from.
Yeah,
that is kind of funny.
It sounded weird coming out.
This is kind of a 1950s thing.
How are you, sister? How are you,
Yeah,
Kathy?
I think maybe the Brady Bunch did that, or Father Knows Best, called
know
each other
that...
Buff, Biff and Sis, you
know. Where that came from. So how's it going today?
Well, it is going well. I'm off today because of it, the Good Friday holiday, I guess.
Oh, and that's right. This is Easter weekend.
This is the
we're
Easter
recording
weekend.
This.
Mm-hmm. And I guess we're going to talk about ghosts on Easter weekend. So there you have it.
It's something I kind of think I do like 345 days a year.
Yeah. No matter what holiday, we are into ghosts.
We did take Christmas off, though.
Yeah, we a little.
Although we might have recorded on Christmas Eve.
I was going to say, I'm not sure we didn't record on Christmas or Christmas Eve. I kind of think we might have.
It's just kind of our thing.
Yeah.
So this is an interesting story today. Was it her friend's car? Was it not her friend's car? What was going on? So Here's the story. It says, I wanted to share an event that up until now, I've always thought of as strange, not necessarily paranormal, just very, very odd. I never told anyone except my partner because I trusted him not to think I was crazy and because I have no likely explanations for what happened or why. The year was 1987. I was 19. I had just reconnected with an old friend I hadn't seen in 3 years. We got along very well back then, and we were happy to discover we still got along 3 years later. I liked her honesty and kindness as well as her taste in music, and we are friends again today, having reconnected after almost 30 years, but I still haven't told her what happened. My friend and I spent every weekend together that year. We cruised around in her blue Camaro looking for friends and things to do. We never hung out in our town, but chose a town a distance away on the highway just because it was more interesting than either of the towns she and I lived in. The people we met were total strangers at first, but quickly became our friends, and we looked forward to seeing them every weekend. We would meet them in a parking lot at night and hang out talking and listening to music. My God,
that had to have been her.
Did this happen to me?
We just would get together in a parking lot.
I know. We would just drive around, and then we would find our friends and pull over in a park or a parking lot, and that's exactly what we would do. My friend always drove because she had a car and I didn't. Our new friends all had cars, and we would follow each other around endlessly or park, and like I said, just hang out. I knew that my friend loved her car. She was very proud of it and kept it in excellent shape. We often joked about the number of Camaros we'd seen broken down on the highway, especially on our way to concerts. It seemed to be the worst ride to take long distances, but there was no way my friend would ever let her car be anything but roadworthy because she really loved it. One night, my friend and I made our plans as usual. She would drive a short distance to pick me up, and then we'd be off just like any other night. I was ready early, so I waited outside for her on my porch. At the time, I lived in a cul-de-sac, a street that ends in a circle with no outlet. From my porch on the circle end, I could see everyone else's house on the circle and fairly far up the street, but not all the way to the end. It was very quiet and cozy. It was probably after 9 p.m., maybe later, since our nights did start late and end early the next morning. Also familiar to us.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because now I want to be home by 9 o'clock. I don't want to go out at 9 o'clock. If somebody's like, yeah, I'll come get you at 9. I'll be like, what am I supposed to do until 9 o'clock?
I know. The other day, the college, they said, you know, the college play. And I said, what time does it start? And they said 7:30. And I said, 7:30?
Oh, my God.
Good heavens. I'm not going to get home till 9:30 or 10.
Let alone go out at 9:30 or 10. Like 7:30.
Why do you guys start a play at 7:30?
Which is really the time most of them start. Some start as late as 8, Kathy.
Oh, 8 o'clock.
My shows start at 8 o'clock.
What? 8 o'clock.
Let's see. It was probably after 9. I sat waiting about 10 or 15 minutes when I finally saw headlights come down my street. It was the only car I had seen or heard, and I looked to see if it might be my friend. As the car came underneath the street light, I saw it was indeed my friend in her blue Camaro. I stood up as the car reached the sidewalk to my house and stopped. I was excited to be out for the weekend and was looking forward to seeing my friends, but as I approached the car, I slowed down. Something was wrong. I looked harder at the car and determined that it was a blue Camaro, the same make and model as my friend's was, but something was wrong. For one thing, the car had tinted windows, and I could not see in, and I could tell the car was full of people. In fact, it sounded like too many people were in the car talking to each other. Another strange fact was that music was playing very loudly from the car, and it was not her kind of music, not any song I recognized, something loud and thumpy with a dance beat. I got all the way to the passenger door and was reaching for the handle when I smelled cigarette smoke. There was no way this was my friend's car. I knew something was happening. I didn't know what, but I let my hand drop instead of opening the door. The car pulled away, and I heard a voice say, "She almost got in." I stood there and watched the car drive slowly around the circle and back up the street until it disappeared. A few minutes later, my friend pulled up in her blue Camaro. The radio was quietly playing. There was no trace of smoke. We went out that night as usual, and I did not tell her that anything had happened. She seemed very much the same, and I cannot believe she would punk me and not tell me. Plus, she had never pulled a prank before on me, to my knowledge. She was just that type of person. I've thought about this incident from time to time over the years. Was another blue Camaro out on the streets of my small town that night? If so, why did it come down my street and not stop anywhere else but my house? And why did it stop at my house? I didn't know anyone else with that type of car, and I don't think whoever was in there knew me. The town I lived in was small enough that I probably knew anyone who was driving age. Like I said, if my friend was pulling a prank, she never, never said so. And I know she would not allow smoking in her car. It's just too damn freaky to be a coincidence, but I have no other explanation for it. Whatever it may have been, I'm glad I didn't open the door. I have many other stories I'd like to share. I'm thankful for your show and the community you have created. It feels good to know I'm not alone, though I don't think I've heard a story like this one before. If you guys have, I'd love to hear it, as well as any theories you or your listeners might have about my experience. Peace and spooky love, Sarah. So we can relate to this because Kathy and I lived in a small town when we were growing up, and anybody driving a blue Camaro, like, you knew what everybody drove. And if it, and your friend had the one car that fit that description, but seeing somebody else with a blue Camaro, just like your friends, that would have been weird. Cause when you live in a little town like that, you know, when two people have the same car, and you know, right, if you see someone else with your exact same car, you go, "Oh my God, who's that?"
Okay, well, my thoughts are this. Number one, we know it's not a punking situation because she couldn't have put tinted windows on the car,
right,
and then not had tinted windows on the car. So we can say it's not exactly the same car. It's a blue Camaro with tinted windows.
Yes.
Okay, so that's that. Now, are they from the same town? Maybe, maybe not, because she herself said she liked to go to other towns and cruise around them and meet other kids, which we used to do that too. We'd, yeah, go over to another town 20 miles away or whatever. So why wouldn't the kids from the other town come over to your town and cruise around? And so the fact that you didn't know, I know this particular car, I think that it's possible.
I think
Camaros
it's
were
possible.
Popular. at the time. And I'm going to go, it's a coincidence. I think they were out cruising around, some kids from another town that she didn't know. And they came around the cul-de-sac. They're just out cruising the town. We used to do the same thing. They saw somebody sitting on the porch. She gets up and starts walking towards them. And they're like, hell, she almost just got in the car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they probably thought that was just as weird as she thought it was.
And I do totally get where she's coming from, because being from a small town, you know, mm-hmm. people's cars, and that would be really strange to have that coincidence happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I don't really see how it could be paranormal, like a car pulled up there. Like, I don't understand. It feels to me more coincidental than paranormal.
It was a crazy-ass coincidence.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I think it was a different car, tinted windows. I wish she would have looked at the plates, you know, to mm-hmm. see. She didn't say anything about license plates or anything like that. But I honestly think, you know, it's just some kids from another town that came over and were cruising around the town, happened to go down that cul-de-sac. And then she comes walking out and they're like, oh, she's walking towards us. Like, do we know her or something? You know, and then she gets close to the car and they're like, we don't know this girl. Why is she trying to get in the car? And then she's like, I don't know these people. Why am I trying to get in the car? Like, and I, you know, I've had kind of oddly similar things where I've actually ended up meeting people because I thought, you know, it was them and they thought this, and you know what I mean? Like, I went to get in with them or whatever, you know, and it's crazy as it is and bizarre as it is and one in a trillion, I think that's what it was.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that one. Because I just don't understand how it could have been paranormal.
Yeah. Now, Stephen King wrote a book about Carr, you know, and that was super creepy. But, you know, there were some other creepy things that were going on with that car.
Oh, shit.
I just think this was a group smoking, you know, kids that listened to different kind of music than you listen to.
And they could have been out there somewhere in that neighborhood and pulled down that street. And since it was a cul-de-sac, they had to just circle around to leave.
Exactly.
And then she gets up and they're like, what the hell's the lady doing? She's going to get in our car.
She's going to get in our car. Like, I think they were probably as like, what the, you know, heck, as much as she was. You know,
so I'm going with you. I do think it's a crazy coincidence.
I do too.
Back in the
day, I think
it's
a one in a trillion that it happened to be the same car you were waiting for.
And you would see all your friends in their cars and you would recognize them. It's like, oh, here comes Jeff and Grant down the street in Jeff's car. Like, you would recognize.
And there was a Jeff and Grant, by
yes,
the way. That is not
they were real people. And they always drove around in Jeff's car for the most part.
And they were Jeff and Grant. But with that said, you know, she herself said that they like to go to other towns. So why wouldn't the kids from the other towns like to go to other towns?
Yeah. So I do get it from living in a small town. That is a mm-hmm. really weird coincidence, but I'm going coincidence.
And I get it. Like, we did the same kind of driving around, going to the parking lot and sitting in the parking lot till 2 a.m. or whatever.
It's a weird way to entertain ourselves, but we
But we loved it. We had the best time.
We did. Well, let's go to a call.
Hey, this is Kyler Simmons. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. The story that I have is kind of weird. Me and my friend have always been like sort of a magnet to the paranormal. We've always just attracted that stuff, whether we liked it or not. Me and a few of my friends one day were just driving around, and we come across this park. And we had the park to the right of us, and we had a straight road ahead. We decided not to go through the park. We just went straight. We drove for a little bit more, taking random turns. We come across the same park, and we just didn't think nothing of it. Still avoided it, went straight. Did a different turns this time. After a few more minutes, we come across the park again. Like we were going in circles, even though we were taking completely different routes. Finally, we decided to go through the park. The sun was starting to set. It wasn't dark yet, but we were going through the park. It was a beautiful park. We were driving through it. It was nice. You get to the end of the park, and to the right, there's this really, really small cemetery. It has a small stone wall surrounding it with one single gate. We noticed the gate was cracked open. So we pulled to the side, and we normally wouldn't do this, but all of us had this sort of, like something was luring us to it. Like, I was driving, I don't even remember stopping the car. Next thing I know, we're in the cemetery. We opened the gate and walked in. One of my friends spoke up and was like, "I'm not feeling comfortable, guys. We need to head out of here." So we all began to feel very, very uncomfortable. And obviously we were trespassing. So that we associated that uncomfortableness with that. And we got out of there. Didn't think really much of it. What was it? A couple days later, we're driving again. We come across the park again. We go through it, we drive through it, and we see the cemetery. We pull over again. We walk up to it, and this time the cemetery, the gate is chained shut, and the chains are rusted to hell. And just the way the gate looked, you could tell it hasn't been opened in a really long time. So somehow that chain was gone the day before, and suddenly it's there. And it looks like it's been there for a very long time. But we were all freaking out, and we left. This is a pretty short story. I got more to the story. So if this gets aired, I might call in and tell some more about what has happened. But just wondering what your thoughts were on it. What could potentially lure us, have that effect on us? Me and my friend, this was like 2 or 3 years ago, me and my friend that I said are like magnets, we're still affected by this to this day. There's something that's constantly luring us back to that park, and we don't know what it is. Like I said, there's more stories, more things that happen that I'd be willing to share. If I hear this is on one of your shows, I'll call back with updates.
What do you think about that?
Okay. Number one, I think it's very fascinating that we have two stories in a row that are about kids driving around.
Yeah, small town kids, that's what happens.
Coincidence.
People who are living in cities going, what is this? They just drive around?
They just drive these kids. That they do. That's what all the kids in the Midwest do. They get in cars and they drive.
In small towns, because there's nothing else for them to do.
Did you? What was that movie that where they just were dragging Maine, remember?
I don't remember, but that was our lives.
That was the life. Sometimes it wasn't even just driving around. You just drove a few blocks and flipped around and did it again. But anyway, it felt like a Twilight Zone.
Kind of did, right? Didn't it?
Where they couldn't seem to get away from this park, no matter how hard they were trying. Then they go. And the gate is opened, but then, you know, they felt creepy about it. Leave, but then when they come back, did he say it was the next day?
I don't remember.
Very shortly.
It was
after.
Short. I think shortly after.
Yeah, and then it was like it had been changed up forever.
And so my thoughts on that were: did one happen at night and one during the day? Could they have gone? Was there another entrance that they didn't notice?
And
could that have been?
There's more to this story.
Yeah.
I would like to know the more of this story. But is there any way that the gate was open and then the next day the caretaker comes and goes, oh, the gate's open, and he re-puts this chain on it, which is a super old rusty chain, but it's what was on there.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's been closed forever.
I mean, I think that could happen.
Maybe. I don't know. You know, that's why I would need more description from Tyler when he says, you know, like it looked like it had been closed forever. Like what we were in there the night before and walking around and were really creeped out. And then the next day it looked like it had never been open.
Because there are other indicators of it not being open for a really long time. Like Were the weeds really high?
Exactly. You know? That's what I'm saying. Like, could the chain have just been undone and then he redid the chain and just looked like old rusty chain that it hadn't been? Or, like you said, is it completely overgrown? Are there other things? That's why I'd like to know that just a little bit more information. What was it that happened the next day that you felt like it wasn't just rechained, even if it was an old rusty chain? There was more to it than that.
Now, I do believe in things kind of reaching out to you and you feeling very, this overwhelming urge to go explore that. Like it's drawing you in somehow. Get mm-hmm. that. I get that.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think that can be paranormal, sometimes not. I think that sometimes you just have this overwhelming feeling about some place or something.
Sometimes it's just the universe is, you know,
yeah,
reaching out to send you in a direction, maybe.
But, I mean, they very strongly feel like that gate had not been open. It just made me think, was there mm-hmm. two gates, maybe? Or I don't know.
I know. That's what they felt like it wasn't. And if he's got more information about this, I'd really like to know.
Yeah, I think
Tyler,
we need...
call back.
We need
more of the story.
We need more about that one.
Yeah, I think so too.
Let's go with one more quick story. It says, I've never considered myself sensitive to the paranormal, but I have had strange occurrences throughout my life. So here goes. My brother passed away when he was 10 years old. I can't imagine. About a year later, I was visiting my mother for the weekend. As we were lying down watching TV, we both saw a child walk past us. We knew immediately that it was my brother, as you could tell from his curly hair. We were not afraid. We felt a lot of peace at that moment. The next time I experienced something paranormal, it was not so pleasant. I shared a room with my sisters, so I usually slept on the couch. That kind of makes me laugh because of the way that's stated. Like, so of course I slept on the couch.
Yeah, well, depending on our sister in our family.
Yeah, which one?
Yeah, because God bless Cheryl, we love her, but she was not fun to sleep with.
One night I couldn't sleep, so I was laying there looking into the darkness. Now, my parents' house was set up in such a way that from the living room, you could see through the kitchen into the family room. The family room had two large rectangular windows. There is a point, I promise. Anyway, as I was lying there, I suddenly saw the black shadow of a man walk by. At first, I didn't think much about it, just someone cutting through the yard, not thinking that it didn't make sense as the yard was fenced in. About 30 seconds later, I saw him walk past again, going in the same direction. The next night, I made my sister stay in the living room with me to make sure I was not imagining things. Sure enough, the next night, the same thing happened. I'm not sure if it was a shadow person or not. The shadow had a crisp outline, and the man wore a hat that seemed to be from the 70s, the type of hat that a businessman would wear. I don't remember businessmen in the 70s with hats, but... Guys, so maybe I'm thinking more like 50s hats. The third story shook me to the core. My grandmother and I were very close, and when she passed, I was absolutely devastated. I felt like my faith in everything was shaken. About a week after she passed, I started seeing her out of the corner of my eye. Well, it looked like her anyway. She was in her favorite nightgown that she always wore, and she looked as she always did. The only thing was it wasn't her. It felt like something evil. There was something about her eyes that just wasn't right, and it truly scared me. This went on for about 2 weeks. I couldn't stand to be at home because that's where it always happened. I kept my cool and acted as if it was not there, even though I was terrified, and it finally stopped. I would love your opinion on my stories. A brother stopping by for a visit, a shadow person, an entity trying to prey on my sadness. I listen to your show every day at work. It gets me through my day. Have a good night, Susan. I definitely think that was her brother.
Oh, I do too.
Definitely,
what I would have liked to have known is he walked past. I would have liked to know the beginning and the end of this walk. Like, did he just, you know,
disappear?
All of a sudden appear?
Yeah.
Did he look at them at all? Did he just walk through? Did he disappear then, or did he walk into another room? I, you know, just to get my
curiosity,
head around the story better.
And they both saw it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and their brother had curly hair. This kid had curly hair. Yep, shouldn't be I'm a kid walking around in with the it. House.
Yeah, I definitely go that. I think they both saw her brother. I just would have liked to know to yeah. fill in the story for my own vision of how this experience went. The shadow person, possibly?
I don't know that that was a shadow person.
I don't know either. Like, it was happening, and it happened again the next night. Was that it? The two nights, and then was that?
Yeah, because it was outside. So did they get up to look outside? Did they explore this in any way, or did they just see it walk by? Because as creepy as it is, mm-hmm. there are people who do shit like that. Like, it could have been somebody looking
like,
in their windows.
Like, I always tell everybody, I say, I don't know what's scarier. You know, the fact that it could be a shadow man or a real person. Yeah. That could be even creepier to me. So, did they have somebody that was, you know, outside the house?
I know.
For a couple, three nights there.
Because I could see somebody doing that a couple nights in a row.
I could too.
And it's happened to me. Mm-hmm. And you were with me that one night.
Yes. And then there are times that, you know, you have this weird, what do they call them on the crime shows? Perps, perpetrators
perv.
Or whatever.
It was a perv.
This one is a perp.
A pervitator.
A pervitator, that's right. But with that said, then like they're in the neighborhood and then people call them in. And so then the police either kind of watch for them, round them up, or they know somehow. So they go they quit doing it or they go to another neighborhood or whatever, right? And so I wonder, you know, it could happen a couple, two or three nights and then, you know, he moved on to a different place. It's hard. Like I said, I'll be honest with you, either way, shadow person or real person, it's creepy.
Super creepy.
Whichever way that one shakes out.
And so is the grandma one. That's super creepy.
And the grandma one probably bothers me the most of these three because, like she said, is this something that's preying on her grief?
Exactly. And why would something
do that? Kind of feels like
it,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
It could be that you're in such a bad mental state that, you know, something could get in that way, kind of feeding off of your grief. But mm-hmm. it's like, what a sick thing to do. Like, that is a paranormal sicko.
I agree.
Like, that just pisses me off. Because it's oh my God, there's grandma and grandma's favorite nightgown. But there was something about her eyes that truly scared this person. Something evil.
Evil.
Like, that bothers me.
You know, I had that happen to me one night, but it wasn't a dream. It wasn't a real, right? But that I dreamt that I saw my dad. This was years after he'd passed away. And he was in this dark back room. And I go in there and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's my dad. I knew it's my dad. He's smoking a cigarette. Our dad smelled like smoke, you know, like somebody smoking a cigarette. And I walked towards him and he looked at me and his eyes were just black. You know, and I flipped out and I think I woke up at that moment because it shook me up so bad. But that's what I'm talking about. And when that happened, and then I was like all day long after that or even longer, you just are creeped out. It's like, that was not my dad.
Yeah.
Right. And it seemed so real to me. And this is the same thing with Susan. Like it's so real, but you know, it's not them.
Yeah.
That's why I said that one of these three. The first one I kind of love because their brother made a presence and it, you know, it helps. It's you know, I mean, it just to know, okay, he's good.
Yeah.
He's there, you know,
Agreed.
Whatever. Watching us or whatever. Then the second one, we don't know. Either way, it's creepy. But then this one, that's the one that.
And you want to see your grandma, like, you would want to be like, oh, it's my grandma, and she came to.
Well, and it's like that's the way it gets you closer, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, because I can remember with the thing with dad. It's like, that's how Dad, and I start walking towards him. And then he kind of looks up straight at me with these just black eyes. They're just black. There's no whites in them.
Yeah. So Susan's definitely open to this stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, if you have a real ghost story, share it. Call it in at 855-853-4802. Write in if you want to. RealGhostStoriesOnline.com. And don't forget about becoming a premium subscriber if you want to. No commercials, advanced episodes, and access to the archive. Sign up today through Apple Podcasts or go to patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you very much for listening.